welcome. You're with Vox on the Vox Show from Vox.org. It's good to be with you guys again on Monday night, February 12th, 2007, with the moon waning in Sagittarius. We're going to be talking when we get some time during the show about the upcoming Mercury retrograde placement, which starts tomorrow in the sign of Pisces, and that sucks. So I won't be surprised if we get a lot of callers today, so we'll check it out. Anyway, we already have a caller. Come on in, and what's going on, my friend?
Oh, hello.
Hi.
I didn't know I was actually going to get somebody connected. I actually friended you on. You're one of my friends on MySpace.
Cool. How's it going?
Oh, it's going. It's Monday night, long day of work, all that good stuff.
Okay. Well, it's good to hear from you, my friend. So that, when I have friends on MySpace, they actually really become real friends. So that's really cool that that works out that way. So what's going on with you right now, Stevie, that I can help you with?
Okay, I do have a very specific question.
Okay, cool. And what's your birthday?
My birthday is, I was born September 13th, 1982.
Okay.
At 6:02 a.m.
All right, let's check it out. Do you know what your exact rising sign is?
Virgo.
Okay, cool. So we know why you're calling. In general, you're going to be calling because there's a lot of pressure regarding your work and relationships in particular in both areas of your life. You're feeling the upcoming energies of those eclipses that are going to start happening pretty soon, which I'll talk about as well. So fire away with a specific question.
The specific question is I want to know exactly how my relationship is going at this current juncture because I'm not getting too much input from my girlfriend because she's been closed off to me and cold and just unemotional in general for the past 2.5 weeks.
Well, let's check it out. And what's her birthday? Do you know?
Her birthday is September 28th.
Okay, so we know exactly what's going on here. And let's find out, because Libras, I don't know what the hell is going on, but that moon in Libra has really done a lot of damage the last few weeks. I don't know what's been going on. There's no real astrological reason for it either, for some strange reason. Now, according to this, you definitely feel the presence of someone else in the relationship that is somehow affecting her, and that's for sure. Because she has felt really connected to you, but somebody's interfering in your relationship, and her eyes are definitely straying off the main road right now. And that's for sure. Now, you do look like you know, dealing with a Virgo, it's hard. You're fussy. You know that. But there's nothing that you've done specifically to piss her off or tune her out. But she's been having the up and down problems since September, and both of you have. Because that last... one of the last eclipses happened September 8th, and another one happened on September 23rd, and that's within 5 days of her birthday. So you both have had, I would say, like since September, up and downs, even if you haven't registered them on your meter yet. But it feels like there's somebody else that has entered the relationship, and it's making her kind of nervous. And you're starting to react to her behavior, and it's actually making things worse. You understand?
Exactly. That's exactly the issue.
Yeah. So was she honest yet about who this person is?
Oh, yes. It's a gentleman that she previously saw.
Okay. Because she was trying to keep it cool, and this person looks like they're just kind of kissing her butt, trying to make her think things will be different. And I wish that she would call me because I could open her eyes up like pronto. Because it's not my job to just make you feel like you're, oh, Mr. Perfecto, and you're, you know, that like I'm just working for you. Because that's really not the case. But at this point, right, she's being completely deluded, and you really haven't done anything wrong. I mean, you really haven't. And if you have, it's my job to tell you what you did wrong so you could go fix it, you know?
Right.
Now, do you know this guy's birthday?
Ooh.
That would be great to find that out. We don't have to have it, but it's always great if you get it. What's his first initial?
His first initial is M.
Okay, let's check it out. And who's?
I may not have his birthday, but I may know what sign he is.
Yeah, if you know what sign he is, that's just as good, believe it or not. It's always great to...
lovely Aquarians.
Oh, God, who is she kidding? He stabbed her in the back. There was blood squirting out of her eyes. What in the God's name could she possibly do with this guy? Now, I do know air signs are hard for, like, earth signs and water signs to deal with. That's true. So she may feel she has some kind of underlying compatibility. But whoever he dumped her for, and I'm telling you that he did, even if she doesn't know about it. His
little... she doesn't, I do.
Okay, good. So you know that I'm not making this up. Whoever... he slipped it to, you know, to get rid of her, that blew up in his face. And now he's coming back because, you know, one thing, Aquarians need people to kind of support them. And that's what she's doing. And if she thinks he's, oh, yeah, he's learned now from his evil mistakes, boy, does she have a few things to learn. And it's not going to be pretty, you know?
Right.
And a part of her is thinking, like, so stupidly, like, okay, now I've got him back. I'm going to make him worship at the shrine of you know who. And then I'm going to kick him to the curb. Well, that's not going to happen. She may be thinking, oh, yeah, she's going to get the last laugh after all this time, but it's not going to happen. And she's going to be severely disappointed. Seriously.
Her face.
Yeah. And you know what? You and I are like kind of like gleefully enjoying this moment that we know she's going to get a pie in the face because she deserves it right now. But we do know that we really don't want other people to get hurt. But our egos get in the way and go, okay, see, bitch, you're going to like suffer. And it kind of makes us feel a little bit better for 5 minutes, but you really don't want to have her go through that, but it's going to happen anyway. I wish you could find a way to get her to call the show because
yeah, I don't think she will.
I don't think she will either, but you never know because Libras don't turn down too many things for free. You know, it's like, well, bitch, it's for free. I'm going to go check it out. You know,
oh, I know. I have a bunch of my planets in Libra, so I completely understand.
Especially if it's cool stuff and it's free and there's no charge for it. They'll check it out at the very least and see if it's worth their time and money. But she does care about you, but unfortunately, she doesn't care about you enough to not be foolish and be led back astray to this stupid situation because you look like you've really put a lot of emotional investment into this relationship by now. And I would have thought that she would have cherished it a little bit more than she's showing.
Right.
You know, and she does care about you, but I would say you need to have a stern talk with her and say, look, this is what's going on. I know it's what's going on. I'm not going to stand for this. If you want to be with him, then be with him, but you're going to have to just move on. And you got to be strong about it. And you're not really strong about it right now because, you know, you're having some issues in your life that you would like to have some emotional support. And you were hoping since you invested all that time in her, she was going to be there for you. But, you know, this is the first sign that she's like losing interest in this relationship with you. So you need to sit down and take some inventory and find out what in the world you might be doing that could bore somebody or make them feel it's not going forward. You know?
Right.
So check it out. But I got to let you go right now. But email me and stuff. If you can get me all the birth info, I might be able to help you out and give you some more info on it.
I will do that.
You take care and tell her what I said. Don't be afraid. Don't ever be afraid.
No.
Don't ever be afraid to lose somebody, okay?
Oh, no, that's what I'm going to do tonight.
Cool. Take care, my friend. I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye, Steve. So we got Mercury getting ready to go retrograde. And we got some more callers out here. So who am I talking to?
Hi, Box. My name is Adela.
Hi, Adela. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You big liar. Nobody's doing good out there. That's why I'm here, to talk through it. How can I help
I'm really
you?
Excited. I'm really excited to be talking to you because I just found this show a couple of weeks ago.
How did you find out about it?
I was just Googling you because I used to hear you on the radio.
Oh, cool. Well, it's great to hear from you. So let's straighten you out. What can I help you with, my friend?
Well, I have some issues with my job.
Okay, and what's your birthday, Adela?
It's December 10, 1960.
Okay, so we'll see what's happening over here. Now, are you dark-haired with glasses or no?
Yes.
Okay, just letting you know that's what I see. So sometimes people think, whoa, what the heck is all that? So just letting you know. And those are things that I'm clairvoyant and I'll see things and I'll hear things. And I back them up with the tarot and numerology and astrology. But it should always make sense. Now, whomever your boss is definitely not having a very fun day. He's really stressed about money. And bosses, they just are. So that's just the way it is. But it makes me feel like you've been dawdling for, I would say, maybe a good 5 to 10 years. In the same kind of situation.
I've been there over 10 years.
Yeah, and it just feels like 10 years. You know, even if you were there.
If you had
only been there for 5 minutes and it feels like 10 years, it's even worse. But your boss isn't changing, but you are changing. Now, you might want to pay attention to some strange ideas that I'm going to tell you. Like people like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, they're Sagittarians. Who are another Sagittarian? Anna Nicole Smith. Now, interesting, because these are all women that were shot out of a cannon to fame and fortune, and some of them could handle it, and some of them couldn't. But the most important thing to recognize about Sagittarius is you have to follow your own lead. You have to do the things that make you happy. Now, I don't know what planets you have in Capricorn, but you have extending issues regarding the need for security, and you have got to let go of it because you're being suffocated.
Yes,
you know?
I am.
You used to be a fun person. Yes. I mean, good Lord, what happened? And the deal is that you're just not taking the chances that you need. Now, what were the artistic abilities that you had at one point that you were trying to get into that have to do with like...
They vanished. I'm even wondering whatever happened to the creative person I used to be.
Well, somebody made you freak out that you were getting old and you better hurry up and you better make some money. And so somebody's really projected a lot of fear into you. And a lot of times it's families and usually it's the mother, okay? Now, what's your mom's birthday?
September 7th.
Well, that would do it. That would do it for you. So you may not have a lot of friendship in your family. And what I mean by that, you may love them and respect them, but they don't seem to know how to nurture your creative, kooky side. And you're going to have to stop looking for permission from them to be the person you've always wanted to be. So in order to do this safely and sanely, I have to encourage you to take some classes in some of the old subjects you used to be intrigued by and start getting your passion back, because it's also screwing up your relationships. If you're happy in your love life, let me know, because I won't believe it.
Sometimes. My husband was born December 9th, 1951.
Yeah, so that's good. But you're not happy, and you're not happy because it's not because of him. It's happy. You're not happy because you haven't really figured out what the heck you're supposed to be doing. Now, that doesn't mean you, it does not mean you can't get a normal paycheck. I'm not asking you to completely destroy your financial well-being. But what I am asking you to do is to carve out that little part of yourself that you've lost, that once you go to work every day, you feel like, oh, God, here we go again.
Because yes, I feel like that.
There's no end in sight, you know? And you've got to make it. You've got to make a living somehow. But you're not getting fed on the weekends or on your time off to be able to say, go back and say, "Well, I had a great weekend. Okay, here's what I have to do to make the rent check, and this here's what's going to pay for me to have more fun next weekend." And so you have to give yourself a mental and an emotional vacation, because you're absolutely unbearable as far as your husband's concerned, because you're just not happy.
No.
You know, and then you're not horny anymore because you're always tired. And then to get past it, you're probably eating a bunch of crap that makes you really feel bad. So what's wrong with you right now is so fixable, it's ridiculous. You might have thought, oh, God, I'm having a nervous breakdown. Oh, I'm having a midlife.
I feel like some days I feel like just telling them, you know, here's my 2-week notice, because they have me under so much pressure.
But the deal is, what you can do to counteract it in the meantime, take some classes, get yourself, even go down and get a manicure, a pedicure, use a little bit of that money to try to comfort yourself so you can have that buffer. You know, I'm not asking you to quit your job, but if you don't do these things I'm telling you right now, just quitting your job isn't going to fix it, because you're going to still have to work for some other asshole that you even know less than you know the guy who is an asshole right now.
I don't personally dislike my boss. It's just business, but I just feel that if I don't perform up to what she expects of me, that, I could be saying goodbye to my job. And you're right, it's all about security, because I'm the breadwinner in my relationship.
Well, we got to fix that too. But the most important thing we got to do first off is get yourself some comfort. All right, you got to get your nails done. You got to get your hair done. You have to do little tiny things right now to make yourself feel pampered. So
I don't do that anymore. I used to put makeup on. Now I just get up and just rush out.
You know? It's lucky for you if you even slash some lip gloss on, because you're tired.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why you should continue to go in that direction. So my advice right now, get a little bit of nurturing for yourself. Get yourself squared away with a couple of classes that take you away from your husband and re-inject the passion for your life that you've lost. And if your husband doesn't want to handle it, by the time you get a little bit more clarity, you're going to be strong enough to say, listen, I love you, but you're going to have to pick up the slack, because I can't do everything and I don't want to do everything. You got to have a partnership. Otherwise, you don't need to be married.
That's true.
You know, so let's do these little steps first, and then let me know how you're doing within the next week or two, and then we'll make our next plan for the next part that we got to do.
Okay.
Okay, my friend?
Okay. Well,
and definitely write to me at vox@vox.org. And let me know how you're doing, and sign onto the forum and share your experiences with everybody else so that other people can learn.
I will try doing that. Deep down, I've been feeling like that's what I should be doing. But, you know, I feel that something's going to change at my job probably within the next month or two.
Yeah, most definitely. So you don't want to lose that job right now until you feel like you're getting back to where you were. Then you'll be able to see things more clearly and move on from that job if and when we feel like that job is holding you back too much. So in other words, don't sabotage yourself by then, okay?
Okay.
And keep in touch, and I'll keep you in my prayers,
Thank
okay, my
you.
Friend? Many blessings.
Okay.
Take care, Adela.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, so we're the Vox at Vox.org. This is the Vox Show. So give me a call at 323-284-5166. And if you ever need to come in for a full-blown, hardcore Vox reading, you can always call me for private appointments at 323-782-0222. Also check out the forums at Vox.org/forum. So we have another caller right now. So who am I talking with?
Maggie.
Hi, Maggie. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Cool. So what's your birthday, Maggie?
October 10th, 62.
See, we got all this Libra stuff going on lately.
Uh-oh.
And that's because you're still dealing with some stuff that happened like right about a week before your last birthday. So we're going to be talking about that. So what can I help you with, Maggie?
I'm just kind of in a state of flux, like in between like the job thing and the guy thing, and I'm just sort of in a, like, I don't know which way to go right now.
And that's typical for the Libra.
Ah, of course, we're trying to stay balanced.
Exactly. It's the toughest sign, really. You know, it really is, because it doesn't matter what you agree on. You always look at somebody else and think that they've got something better happening on their plate. Now,
right.
What I want you to do, too, is turn down the volume on your computer if you're calling from computer.
Yeah, no, I'm calling from my phone. My computer's off.
Okay, so that's cool. So what can I help you with? Let's pick a particular point. You want to talk about the job first?
Yeah, I guess so. That probably weighs more heavily.
Okay, let's check it out over here, see what's going on. Now, the most important thing to recognize is that the dreams that you have for the things that you want, you can't really afford to get by working at the particular work that you're doing right now, and that's starting to frustrate you. So where are you working right now? What kind of work?
I am currently filling in as an accountant. I got laid off after 6 years as an accountant, doing accounting, like film-related business, and I just didn't want to do accounting anymore, and then this people that I know, and they're like, hey, can you just fill in for a while, and I'm totally bored.
Yeah, because what's happening, there's no such thing as a Libra accountant.
Yeah.
That's some of your, you may have some planets in Virgo that are making you choose to do something normal, but until you decide to either go back to school, and I'm not talking about regular school, taking some kind of courses where you can learn how to create your own business, because you're definitely a people person. You should not be cooped up in an office. You need to be doing creative things like getting people together, hosting events, any kind of things of an entrepreneurial situation is what you should be doing. So, and that's not where you're at right now.
No.
Forget it. But you have to create that, because a Libra doing a boring job, oh my God, you're already feeling the pressure of it. And you can't stand it.
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have to start networking and tell people what you really want to do and start creating that as a reality. Because if you keep waiting for it to drop in your lap, it's not going to happen. But it's
right.
Most definitely related to getting people together, networking, even gift shopping, any kind of things with decorating, making things beautiful, creating things of that nature that will bring you to the career that you need. Because if I just tell you, oh yeah, it's just about work, you're going to, you know, work for this guy, work for that guy, in 10 years you're going to want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
You know, so let's avoid the murder.
Yeah.
And let's just straighten you out now. And the other situation is, because I feel strongly you're going to meet whomever your best partner is through your work. Now how the hell can you meet him doing what you're doing? You
right.
can't. And you know that, and that's why you're feeling like, oh, my God, something's got to give, you know? But I do feel very strongly to, like, not be doing any more accounting. Even if you had to make less money doing something more fun, you'd have a better energy, and you'd be able to get your life jump-started at that point. Now, who's the guy that you have a question about right now?
I had a last job I had. There were these two guys I was sort of juggling. And I just, since I'm not at that job anymore, I don't really think either of them are the right guys, but they're still, you know, it's still in the back of my mind, like, well, no, I'm not at that job anymore. Would, you know, did either of them make any sense for me?
Well, they're not real major relationships for you, neither one of them, and you do psychically already know that. But I think that with the Libra energy that you have, you definitely have to get laid. Forget about it. Of course, we want to be safe and sane about it. But the first guy... Let's see. Give me the first initial of both of them, one at a time.
One is a W and one is an S.
Okay, let's check it.
S like Sam. It's not Sam, but it's an S like Sam.
Okay. Well, the first guy is the one you might be more attracted to, but there's really nothing going on there. I'd give a call to the second guy and just see if he wants to go out. And I'm not really, like, blown away by it whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a roll in the hay at the absolute best.
Right.
You know, but in your case right now, you kind of need a little bit of enjoyment, so I'm not going to say no. If I think somebody's really bad for you, I won't even go there. I'll just say completely
right,
leave it alone, you know. But as far as whomever you're supposed to be with, whatever that energy's about, you're actually, like, doing stuff that takes you off your path because you're not doing what your angel's been kind of bugging you to do. And because you don't really have a lot of capital and you don't really know a lot of people, you're just waiting for somebody to help you out. And let me tell you, it isn't going to happen. You have to go out there and tell God, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. And put your foot right on the path and then act on it, and that's what's going to open up the path. I know it sounds weird and it sounds risky, and yeah, it is, but the worst risk you're taking is not taking one.
That's good to know. That's makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, who do you know around, like, the Los Angeles area specifically, like, particularly closer to, like, Beverly Boulevard? Who is that?
Who do I know closer to Beverly Boulevard? I have friends in Silver Lake. I have just, there's somebody I used to work with in Echo Park who talked about going in, you know, backing a business.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about doing a wine bar or something, and he talked about backing that.
Well, I'm liking this idea. Anything that brings you in the public eye, because you're also starting to not care about your looks anymore, you know? And I don't like that. So you got to get yourself back on track and back on your regimen. Now, you know, Silver Lake Boulevard, if you took Beverly Boulevard and you went all the way down, you eventually will hit Silver Lake.
Right.
So that's really interesting, that whole area that I picked up on. So I definitely feel you want to hang out with some of these people, the hip kind of crowd, the fun crowd, and really just kind of get something going. Just be more verbal about your desires and your needs, and things are going to start popping.
Cool.
You know? So forget this stuff where you've been. It's all about new stuff. Now, here's the deal. Starting tomorrow, Mercury's going retrograde. So any new jobs, they're not going to last. Even if you worked for the Queen of England, it wouldn't last.
Okay.
Getting your dream job right now is not the important idea. Just get the next job to swing yourself out of the jungle. Take the next vine out.
All right.
Okay, because after March 21st, you're going to start noticing a lot of big changes in your life. And no, they won't feel pleasant right off the bat, because when the sun is opposing your sun sign, it's going to make you feel like, oh my God, what the hell am I doing? I'm doing the wrong thing. But just because you feel uncomfortable doesn't mean you're doing the wrong thing. That's why they call it growing pains. They don't call it growing pleasures. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
You're growing as a person, but don't expect to get absolute confirmation from the universe that you're always doing it right. You have to know what you're doing is right. And sooner or later, the universe will agree with you.
Right.
Okay, my friend? Take some of these risks and keep in touch with me and let me know how it's working out for you.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Take care. God bless.
All right. Bye.
Bye. And when I say God bless, I mean all 100 of them. 10 billion gods, goddesses, you know, it's all about whatever you believe in, whatever faith you are, it doesn't matter. Psychic phenomena exists in all different faiths and religions. And, you know, just have to recognize whatever it is, you got to be in touch with whatever it is that gives you faith in the world. Now, of course, some of the more shocking things that came up recently that I was actually working on before it happened was the death of Anna Nicole Smith. And I recently had started doing some astrological work on her chart. And she died when the moon was in Libra, which was crossing over her natal moon. And I'm going to go on record as saying she was not murdered. But I will say that if it's foul play, the foul play has been incorporated in a way to make her fall in her own life of her own accord. So, and I do think her lawyer, Howard K. Stern, I will not say he did anything physically to hurt her, but I certainly do feel that he made a lot of obstacles in her life and continued to, like, lead her down a path of self-destruction, and I really feel that really strongly, so he'll have to deal with that. I also feel that some of these other claims of other people saying they could be the father of her kid are just completely ridiculous. I do not feel she was artificially inseminated by the billionaire sperm. That did not happen. And I'm going to go on record and say that Larry Birkhead is the father of her child, and I really feel that strongly. And you know what? I could be wrong, but I'm not usually. Okay, just letting you know. Although I do think that that whole situation is really pathetic, and I really hope that Anna Nicole can go to a much better place. I do not feel she committed suicide. I don't think she was eating enough. I think she was on some very hardcore medicines that really pretty much just took a huge toll on her physical health, and ultimately I feel she died of heart failure. I mean, what else could she do, you know? Everything about her son, everything that fell apart in her life started last June 2006 when she first got pregnant. And whatever the karma of that beautiful little baby Danny Lynn Hope, her little child that she just had in September, whatever the karma of that baby is, I really feel bad for it, that it has no mother, has no brother. And it's very strange that even the son of the billionaire that Anna Nicole was married to, he mysteriously died last year. I mean, how weird is that? Everything she touched, it's almost like somebody died. And I don't think that that was her doing. I just think it's a very strange karma that she had, and I feel very bad for what happened to her. And I think that she was a lovely person. Just looking at her chart, she was just a little ditzy, a little fluffy, but she was very, very focused on what she wanted to do, which was make a name for herself. Unfortunately, the name she made for herself was tragic. Now, some of you listeners might remember some of the stuff I've talked about over the last few weeks, where I talked about what's called the cursed degree of Scorpio. And I think it's very interesting to note that Anna Nicole Smith had Mercury at 19 degrees Scorpio. And what it does is it tends to bring a person to tragedy through being manipulated by other people. And how clearly that was the fact. Very sad and very tragic situation. So, as soon as those things happened, you know, there was like the planets hit 19 degrees Scorpio, like around October and November, right around the time that Britney Spears was going through her tragic divorce and all that stuff. So it's just been a really horrible time for her, and I feel bad. You would think that somebody who's a Sagittarius would have better luck than that, especially since Jupiter, her planetary ruler, had moved into her sign. But such was not the case. It would really be great sometime to find out what her actual rising sign was. Because until somebody can find that out, I wouldn't be able to tell you the exact specific energies around the particulars about her passing. I just also think it's really sad, too. She's not even allowed to be buried. Now, I think that's strange because also her son wasn't allowed to be buried for several months after he died. And I do think strongly that these upcoming eclipses and Mercury going retrograde in Pisces, like starting tomorrow, these all had some kind of intense effect on her astrological chart. So those are some of my feelings about Anna Nicole, and peace out, Anna Nicole Smith. And at least she brought a lot of laughter and enjoyment to people. And some of the bloggers that kind of attacked her and constantly disrespected her, whether or not they should have done so or not, I think a lot of the paparazzi and the bloggers, and I think constant making fun of her, it certainly didn't sit well. And I think that we all kind of on that level might have had something to do with making her into a tragic figure. So I think it's kind of sad. So anything that makes you remember her in a positive way, you know, just say blessings for her, that her spirit can find some sort of peace. You know, that's really important. I remember reading that she had said she wanted to be the next Marilyn Monroe. Now, if I may be so bold, please watch out what you ask for, because you most certainly will get it, even if you don't believe you will. Now, what she should have said was, I would love to have the love and desire and success that Marilyn Monroe had and attract all the love and sexual attention. You know, she could have asked for all that, but she didn't have to ask for the tragic end. So never wish to be somebody other than who you are. You can wish for some of the gifts that they have, but you should never wish to trade places with anybody. Because again, like the Indian saying, you know, let somebody walk a mile in your moccasins to find out what it's like to be you. So that's some of my thoughts on her. Some of the planets that we have going on today, we have the waning moon in Sagittarius, which could be making our little Sagittarian and Gemini friends out there feel kind of down in the dumps, you know, and until we have the new moon coming up, you'll probably not feel so great. We have the sun at 24 degrees Aquarius, the moon's in Sagittarius, as I said, at 26 degrees. Mercury is at 10 degrees Pisces, and it's getting ready to go retrograde tomorrow. We have Venus at 19 degrees Pisces. Mars is at 20 degrees Capricorn. Jupiter is at 15 degrees Sagittarius. And we have Saturn at 21 degrees Leo retrograde, which sucks for all you little Leos out there. And Uranus is at 13 Pisces. Neptune's at 19 Aquarius. And Pluto is at 28 degrees Sagittarius. And the North Node is 16 degrees Pisces. And the final little tidbit is Chiron is 11 degrees Aquarius. So what you want to pay attention to now is avoiding any kind of chest colds, ice slipping, water slipping, any of those kinds of things is really important. And people that are planning long voyages right now, it's probably not your greatest idea. I would just pretty much stay home or go camping somewhere. Now, depending on what sign you have Mercury in, Mercury is going to be affected severely starting tomorrow, as I said. So say you are Mercury in Aries. The Mercury in Pisces will probably make you, you know, very moody in particular. So you want to, like, keep it together. And for the Pisces out there and the Geminis, here's how it works. Mercury is the ruler of Gemini and Virgo. It rules the third sign of siblings, short travels, communications. And it also rules the sign of Virgo, which is in the sixth house of health, services, community, all that kind of thing. And also public schools. So when Mercury is retrograde, you're going to hear about food problems. You're going to hear about, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You're going to hear about school shootings. You're going to hear about all kinds of crazy stuff. You're going to hear about flooding. You're also going to be hearing about really strange things happening in hospitals, people getting sick on cruises, things of that nature. And for the poor little Geminis out there, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Your computers will probably blow up. Your car will get flat tires. The electrical system on anything you touch will go kablooey. And am I bringing, you know, disaster in verbal form? No. It's just the way it is. Starting like right this minute, you're not going to be signing any contracts because Vox said so. Okay? You're not going to like decide to get married starting tomorrow until like after, honestly, March 21st. You're not going to do anything but kind of lay low, clean out the closet, back up the computer, catch up on correspondence, and do things to benefit your own life in a quiet, private kind of way. If certain kind of deals go down, hopefully they should have already been started way before now, like around 3 or 4 months ago, then I'll feel a lot better about it. Because Mercury retrograde can also indicate a positive end to situations that were started earlier. Okay, so it doesn't always have to be gloom and doom about Mercury retrograde. Now, people that are born with Mercury retrograde in their charts will be less affected by it. So, interestingly enough, people that have Mercury retrograde, sometimes they're hard to understand. They don't verbalize themselves well. And you never know what the hell they're talking about. But when Mercury's retrograde, for those people, it actually turns out to be kind of a cool thing. So it's very interesting. So Mercury retrograde does not have to be the harbinger of gloom and doom, but most definitely you want to not take any major risks. Don't buy any large objects like cars or computers or printers or anything electrical or mechanical. Even if nothing bad happens to it, what will happen is it will get lost. I remember one time, I said, okay, screw it. My refrigerator was broken. And I was like, screw this. I've always wanted one of those really bitchin' refrigerators that squirts water and ice cubes and does everything, raises your kids, all that stuff. And I wanted one. So when my refrigerator broke, I went out and bought one. And then I realized, wait, Mercury's retrograde. Maybe I shouldn't go out and buy this refrigerator. And I said, screw it. I need a refrigerator. So I went out and bought one. Well, it barely fit into my apartment. Almost couldn't even get it in. I only lived at the place for one more month. I couldn't afford to store it. The new place I moved in already had a refrigerator, and they didn't want me to move the refrigerator in. And they kept it in storage for, like, what, 3 years. So this beautiful refrigerator, never got to use it at any point in time except for, like, 1 week to make some ice cubes. And a completely amazing $1,000 refrigerator went completely unused. It was like great. It was like fantastic. But there was nothing that I could do about it. Same thing, you buy a car. You know, the last thing I bought when Mercury went retrograde, I bought a purse. And I said, you know, I really should not buy this purse, but screw it. I'm going to buy it. I need a new purse. I had it for a week and it broke. And I'm like, damn it. This really sucks. Anything I touch during retrograde, it just goes kablooey. So I can only wonder what will happen next week and the week after that while I'm doing the show. If I'll have any technical difficulties. I'm knocking on wood. See, that's me knocking on wood. To hopefully not have to go through anything weird. So those are just a few little tidbits about Mercury retrograde. Now, Mercury, as I said, rules the idea of communication, businesses, travel, schools, health, community service. And Mercury through the different signs is very interesting. Now, Mercury is the planet that is closest to the sun, and it spins the quickest. I think a whole year on Mercury is like 88 days or something, totally insane. It's really fast. And so when Mercury is in a particular sign, it rules how that person communicates and how they're perceived verbally and mentally and how their mind acts. So say out there, if you want to find out more about your chart, you should always write to me at vox@vox.org. You might want to order an astrology chart or a numerology chart or any of that kind of stuff. But to find out where your Mercury placement is and find out more about how your mind works, because you may think you know, but you may not know as much as you think. So when you have Mercury in Aries, Aries is a fire sign. And Mercury in Aries is always making a person very insightful, very quickly. They just kind of look at something and they go, oh yeah, I know what's wrong with it. Oh yeah, this here's what's wrong. They just look at something and size it up. And even if they have the lowest job on the totem pole, they are usually the best person on that workforce and get things done really quickly. However, Mercury in Aries always indicates a leadership kind of mind, progressive thinker. And they, even if it's like the bums on Skid Row, the bum on Skid Row with Mercury in Aries, he's the coolest, smartest, greatest guy on Skid Row with the most bitchin' box, you know, that will always rise to the top of whatever they do. When you have Mercury in Taurus, now you have Mercury is like very quick, and Taurus is very slow and very like, I don't know, how much is it? I'll have to think about it. And people with Mercury in Taurus just drive the rest of us fucking nuts. Because not only can they not make a decision, it takes them 10,000 hours to not make a decision. So you just want to slap them upside the head. Mercury in Taurus, though, however, is good for people that live in the country who want to be poets, who want to do something artistic, where they can't be rushed, that kind of thing. But it's very difficult placement because you have this quick-moving Mercury inside this kind of slow molasses-type sign. Now, when you have Mercury in Gemini, it's the natural ruler of Gemini, so you think, wow, this rocks. But it doesn't. It's so psycho, it can't stand still. It's like a fly buzzing around everywhere. And, you know, flies live, what, 72 hours or 48 hours? I can't even remember how long flies live, but that's Mercury in Gemini for you. It's just going everywhere, not getting anything done, but just kind of like psyching itself out, landing here, landing there. Everywhere. It can be really great for a traveler, but what can I say? Nothing is really going to manifest with Mercury in Gemini because you just don't finish anything. So using astrology in this negative way that I am famous for to find out what all your problems are is to indicate what you need to work on. Just because you have Mercury in Gemini doesn't mean all is lost. It means you have to work harder to compensate for that placement. Okay, so understand that astrology, numerology, and all these psychic gifts and metaphysical arts are tools, they're maps, they're guides for, you know, gauging potentiality or probability in your behavioral nature. Now, you have something like Mercury in Cancer. It's kind of weird, actually. Mercury is this really quick-moving sign, but it's in the first water sign. And Cancer is very deep, very moody. It's like a little stream of consciousness. So when you have Mercury in Cancer, it tends to make you have reveries, dream states, think a lot, you know, feel emotionally about what you're thinking. So it's a great placement for poets and psychics. And not for anything, but I do have Mercury in Cancer. The only thing is that it can slow you down a little bit. Mercury likes to move a little quicker, and Cancer likes to take its time. Mercury also in Cancer can make a person like kind of preoccupied with food, ideas of security, and that kind of thing. But it can give a lot of great ideas. But again, just like Gemini, Mercury in Cancer, you have to like come up to the challenge of finishing what it is that you start. And that's really important. Mercury in Cancer can also indicate that a person can move frequently. Because Cancer, even though it's the sign of the home, Mercury there creates constant changes in the home. So it's kind of interesting. Then you have like something like Mercury in Leo. That's where you have the bombastic screenwriters and the epic filmmakers and like the really intense rap artists. It's all about using words to gain attention. And that's kind of interesting. So Mercury in Leo is very quick, very fast, but also likes to manipulate into a marketing kind of scenario, how to sell his words, how to get you to pay attention, and how to get you to do what he wants or she wants. Very manipulative placement of Mercury, but very bright and very creative. So a lot of filmmakers have this aspect in their chart. Now, when you have Mercury in Virgo, this is exalted because you have Mercury is the natural ruler of Virgo, but Virgo actually gets shit done. So when Mercury is in the sign of Virgo, that earth energy of Virgo doesn't weigh it down like the earth energy of Taurus. It refines it, and it enables the person with that placement to really understand things very deeply and analyze things. Somebody with that placement is fantastic with words, able to get things done, able to get to the heart of the matter. It's a really great poetic placement. And what I'll try to do is find some planetary aspects of poets and writers that have that. It can also give a person the ability to describe things in very succinct terms. It's great as well for people who are interested in the healing arts and any kind of artists who deal things with their hands, such as sculpture and words and writing. We have Mercury in Libra. Now, again, it's almost just as bad as having Mercury in Gemini. It just feels a little nicer. Mercury in Libra is somebody who loves to decorate things, loves to have things sound beautiful, look beautiful. Everything's got to be delicate and wonderful and well-placed. And the only problem, though, is that Mercury rules dual signs, which means, you know, Gemini, the twins. And when you're in a sign such as Gemini or the dual sign of Libra, the balances, it just drives you nuts. For the same reason that Mercury in Taurus drives people nuts because it takes them too long, Mercury in Libra makes a person, like our last caller, have an inability to make a concrete decision and stick with it to the end. So it's like, oh, you know, I just, you know, bought the Porsche. Oh, wait, maybe I should buy the Porsche in a different color. Oh, wait, maybe I should buy the Porsche with, like, you know, extra padding or, like, in another kind of situation, whatever. Whatever it is that they get, Mercury in Libra always wants something else. So it's completely insane. Whenever you see pictures of like all the girls walking down Robertson Boulevard shopping at Kitson or something, I mean, how many shirts and sweaters and shoes can you possibly fucking wear? I mean, every time you see a picture of Jessica Simpson, she's shopping somewhere else. It's like, and you probably never see anything she's wearing. And from everything that I have seen her wearing, it wasn't good enough anyway. So she should maybe continue shopping. I don't know. No, but she does not have Mercury in Libra, but she may as well, because that's what's going on. Now you have Mercury in Scorpio. Now, this is really interesting. Mercury in Scorpio are the people who don't really say very much. They just kind of stare a hole in you, and they become detectives and private eyes and politicians. They manipulate quietly. They don't tell you shit. You have to figure it out. They're all secretive. You never know their real name, their real address. If it's hair plugs or a wig, you never know. They're like the consummate actor. But unlike Mercury and Leo, they don't get paid to be like known as actors. They're just actors in their own lives. Very deep, dark, mysterious. And a lot of these people, like I said, become detectives or work in some kind of like hidden capacity. I think it would be really interesting if we could find out the astrological charts of the main people that are dealing in groups like the FBI or the CIA, and see how many of those people have Mercury in Scorpio. That would be very fascinating. Mercury in Scorpio also can make you into psycho killer. And interesting point, Mercury can never be more than one sign away in either direction from your sun sign. So say if you're a Scorpio, your Mercury is either in Libra, Scorpio, or Sagittarius, either the sign before, the same sign or the next sign, depending. And when it's in Scorpio, say if you have the Sun in Scorpio and Mercury in Scorpio, then you recognize you got the same planets as Charles Manson. Yeah, that's right. And to top it off, Manson also had his Sun at the cursed degree of Scorpio, 19 degrees. And we all kind of see what happened to him. Now, interesting to note that he necessarily didn't particularly have anything to do with actually killing somebody, but he sure had to do with manipulating other people into doing it, which I think is very interesting, noting that same cursed degree. Now, when you have Mercury in Sagittarius, Mercury is in the opposite sign that it's used to being in. Now, Mercury in Sagittarius can make you into a world traveler, somebody who loves to dance, who can't keep still, somebody who's always in the public eye, somebody who can't quit drinking or smoking and just doing things to the nth degree. Who comes to mind? Britney Spears? That's a good one. So how did Britney Spears like go down the tubes and Christina Aguilera have some of the same planets, but she's so put together? Well, I can explain it. She got married to somebody who had his feet on the ground. Now, I don't know Jordan Bratman's birthday, but I would venture to say he's got some strong earth planets, and that was able to ground Christina and keep her from going off the deep end. Like, she looks like she was going to for a while. So Mercury in Sagittarius, again, very fly-by-night, loving the seat of their pants, you know, flying all over the place, can't keep them down. Always usually, like, multiple marriages as well with people with Mercury in Gemini, Libra, Pisces, and Sagittarius. If you're not on your second partner by now, then you're weird. You know, what can I say? You got Mercury in Capricorn. Mercury in Capricorn is what creates people like Donald Trump. Now, I don't know where Donald's actual Mercury is, but I should look it up and put it on my blog somewhere. Mercury in Capricorn is completely obsessed with the ideas of recognition, stability, ambition, becoming somebody, being respected, making a shitload of money. At anybody's expense, they really don't care as long as they reach the top of the heap. So Mercury in Capricorn is very mercenary. There's no way in hell that Mercury in Capricorn is ever going to make you poor. It's just pretty much like the old bum with Mercury in Aries on Skid Row. Those two guys probably own Skid Row. You know, if they're gang members, they're the leader of the gang. There's just no way for them to be a complete failure in life. It's just not going to happen. Then we have Mercury in Aquarius, and it's just almost as crazy as Mercury in Gemini, except just add electricity. Mercury in Aquarius can create people such as Thomas Edison and really great minds that either invent things or steal the patents, which is still pretty clever, isn't it? Mercury in Aquarius is very shocking, sudden, iconoclastic. And you might think even though Aquarius is the 11th sign ruling friendship and social interaction, a lot of Aquarians are so freaking weird they don't really have any friends. They just have a lot of acquaintances. So when you have a Mercury in Aquarius, if anybody understands you, please let me know because I'll have a hard time believing it. You know, Mercury in Aquarius can also be a good time, though, however, to manifest miracles or things just suddenly out of thin blue air. So Mercury in Aquarius is very unexpected, unpredictable, and they're so unpredictable that they're predictable, if you know what I mean. So those are some things about Mercury in Aquarius. And finally, have Mercury in Pisces. Dun, dun, dun. Which is where it is right now. And Mercury in Pisces, this is where people shoot dope, they snort coke, they go to rehab, they fall out of rehab, they go do it again. They reveal their addictive sides and really like kind of air their dirty laundry to the general public. You have like this time within the last 2-3 weeks, people like Britney and Paris exposed and all that kind of crap, Nicole Richie, everybody, all these deep, dark secrets that are ruled by Pisces, all their dirty secrets came out and were revealed publicly. And I don't know if these people are embarrassed by the stuff that we've been finding out about them, because a lot of bloggers have been assuming the worst and have actually been proven to be correct. A lot of our main celebrities right now, especially during this time, they're turning out to be sleazy homewreckers, you know, pardon my French, big-ass hoes. And they're all addicted, and most of them are addicted to fame and money. And they'll do anything to get it. So during this Mercury in Pisces time that we're currently living in, we're just kind of seeing the degradation And Pisces does rule the 12th house of the zodiac, which is karma, institutions, hospital, insanity. So just think about what's going on right now with Mercury sitting there, and not only sitting there, but getting ready to go retrograde there. Oh my God, it just absolutely sucks. So if you are a Virgo, or if you are a Pisces, just hold onto the handrails, little bunnies, because you're about to go through Mr. Toad's wild ride. I kid you not. And if you're in any of those other mutable signs like Virgo and Sagittarius, it's not going to, you know, bode much better, because it's going to be squaring your sign and creating a lot of tension. So is this bad news? Well, maybe, if you're not using it correctly. But if this podcast and this broadcast can go out to any of these celebrity kids that are like losing their mind right now, maybe it will make you take pause and reflect on your life before it goes down the shithole. Because trust me, maybe we should make Anna Nicole Smith into some kind of weird little patron saint of, you know, people who go off the deep end, literally and figuratively. So Mercury in Pisces is not your friend. I'm sorry. Now, what it is good for is, like, in about 2 years, once you live through it, some person somewhere will buy the rights to your tragic novel and make a movie out of the week out of it, or some lame-ass biopic, and it will probably not do that well at the box office, but will probably no doubt have better reviews in your personal life. Let's get real. So those are the little trip of Mercury through the signs. And trust me, I'm saving your ass right now. If you pay attention to this information, you should be able to, like, make it through. Now, who are some famous Pisces we might be dealing with right now? Well, one in particular that comes to mind is somebody like Kevin Rose from DigNation.com. Kevin's got his sun in Pisces, and I think a couple of other planets there as well. So even though technically right now he may be kind of sitting on top of the world with his invention and doing really great, he has all the hallmarks of some of the problems of people with signs in planets in Pisces, like the constant drinking, like the attraction to the kind of sleazy broads, which he needs to pay attention to and kind of put that in check. Not that I believe he's going to listen to me or do a damn thing I'm telling him. But his chart is like mostly like the classic Pisces kind of intelligent slacker kind of chart that I've seen lately. Back in the good old days, you had people like James Taylor, the nice fuzzy kind of Pisces. But even James Taylor, a lot of people don't know this. Back in the day, when his first album he recorded, he was totally stoned on heroin, and he was just coming out of rehab. And his first big hit was actually Fire and Rain, which was written about one of his girlfriends that committed suicide in an insane asylum. So go figure. That's even the nice, fuzzy kind of Pisces still have some tragic crap in their past that can always be uncovered. And those are just a couple of little tidbits. But anyway, so those are some of the little traipsing down the crazy halls of Mercury through the signs of the zodiac. And hopefully this will help you in making some kind of understanding towards how Mercury rules in your chart. Now, say even in relationships, you have Mercury in a particular sign, and you are in love with somebody. Obviously, they have a Mercury either in the same sign or something different. How you think about things can be very important as to how that relationship takes root and how it evolves, and if it can even stand the test of time. So if you can imagine, like, having Mercury in Aries and falling in love with a girl has got Mercury in Pisces, you know, it's pretty intense. You know, you're going to have some serious difficulties. You might be attracted to that person's fuzzy, cute, fluffy qualities, but it's not going to last, because what's important to somebody with Mercury in Aries is somebody who's bright and sharp, pragmatic. And if they fall in love with somebody who's got Mercury in Pisces, they know that they've got their hands full, and they're going to be drawn into the drama of somebody who has got Mercury in Pisces, and it will soon lose its appeal, I can most definitely assure you. Now, I've got Mercury in Cancer, and a few different people in my lifetime have had Mercury in Cancer as well, and I tend to attract people that think the way that I do. I mean, try to think of it. What must it be like to be in love with a psychic and somebody who does spells? I mean, that's got to be pretty whack. I got to have somebody in my life that's really open-minded, really fun, and really spiritual. And I've been very lucky, and I've found a lot of partners in my life that kind of fill the bill on that. But I can't imagine ever being attracted to somebody who's got Mercury in Sagittarius. I think I would just go jump off a cliff or something, you know. That would be just too weird for me. I tend in my own life to like people that are kind of easygoing, pleasant, poetic, artistic, kind of not in a big rush to burn any, like, big hides and that kind of thing. So, you know, paying attention to the Mercury placement in your partner's chart, I think, is quite frankly even more important than where their Venus or their Mars is. Because if you can't make love to somebody in your own mind, if you can't love that person mentally, even if they're great in bed, there's really not that much to hang on to, you know, unless all your whole relationship revolves around sex. And if it does, I kind of feel sorry for you. And of course, you know, this town, Hollywood, is ruled by Virgo. And it's very kind of an uptight, very kind of fussy town. It looks like it's a lot more fun than it really is. It's kinky, but it's under wraps, you know. And all the cool parties are always going on behind your back somewhere. But those are some different, hopefully helpful information that I gave you about Mercury through the signs. Now, I'm just letting you know, too, that you've been with Vox at Vox.org. This is my little show. You can always call me at 323-284-5166. And if you want to get an actual real-life reading with real hardcore astrology, numerology, and the whole nine yards, you should call me up to make an appointment at 323-782-0222. And we'll get together. I do email readings, phone readings, and in-person readings, which are really helpful. I also do astrology, numerology, and pretty much everything else in the book. I also teach classes, and you can find out about that by going on my site at vox.org, V-O-X-X.org. I teach also by chat, by email, and also by phone. And the classes I teach are astrological, numerology, also magic and ritual. So what I'll do, if for all the listeners, if you want to join the forum and go on there, I'll put up some really cool little healing rituals for you to do so that hopefully you'll mitigate the negative effects of Mercury in Pisces going retrograde starting tomorrow. So remember what I said, chill out, don't do anything crazy, don't sign any major documents, make sure you take care of your car. Make sure you take care of your health. Don't drink and drive. Don't mix alcohol with drugs. Don't do anything that can put you into an incapacitated state, okay? And definitely, we might want to start keeping a journal, listening to the show, and writing down some of the tidbits that I give you, and see how they manifest in your life when you put them into action. So any other kinds of stuff I can let you know? I also have a MySpace page, which is MySpace.com/VoxThePsychic, VoxThePsychic. So anyway, if there's any other callers in there, you only got like another minute to give me a call before I have to go. I'm thinking about also doing some interviews and putting them up as separate podcasts. So if you have any information about things that you think other people, especially my listeners, might like to check out about what you're doing. If you're a filmmaker, an artist, a poet, a musician, if you have cool shows coming up, let us know so that we can like support you out there. If you are psychic and you want to tell your cool stories, let me know. Also, too, with Mr. B, my producer and engineer, we had a lot of fun this Friday. We went to a good friend's house, and we started taping some footage of her haunted house that's been haunted by some Chumash Indian couple, which is pretty cool. So we're going to be editing that pretty soon and hopefully finding a way to either put it up on the site or on YouTube or something. It's really fascinating. So if you have any ideas, you want me to come out and visit your house, do a house cleansing, or even a seance, and it's not a joke. I really do that stuff, and I do it for real, okay? And it's a lot of fun and very informative, and it's not scary at all. Okay, if your uncle who died in some crazy way is still haunting you and he's chasing your ass with an axe, okay, it could be scary, but it'll still at least be entertaining and fun. So you can always call me regarding parties or seances at 323-782-0222. Readings, parties, lectures, if you want to gather some friends in your house, have a party and get them all readings and all that kind of stuff, I'm definitely your psychic. I'm not your mother's psychic, as they say. I also read for children, which a lot of psychics don't do and quite frankly can't do. But since I'm a big kid myself, I think God gives me the ability to read kids and help guide them in life in a real positive, directed way. So anyway, that's the show for tonight. And keep in touch with me. Join the forum at vox.org/forum. Send me your letters. If you have questions you'd like me to answer on air, I do that, so check it out. And until next week, Monday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. next week, This is Vox signing off for Vox.org. Have a mystical, magical day.